Hey everyone, welcome back to the Hellbound podcast. I am actor Michael Chan from Star Trek Discovery, and my lovely co-host is
Alex Blackburn, and I am the lift operator going down to Stresstown, but that's a whole other ball game. We're here to talk about horror. We could spend the whole episode talking about real horror, but that I think it would just end up being depressing. It'd be like watching About Schmidt again. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, oh my god, that movie was depressing.
I watched it once.
It should literally be defined as a horror film.
Yeah, Nicholson's amazing, but I can't watch it. It gives me like pangs of anxiety, but that's About Schmidt. If you want stress, watch that movie.
Have you heard about Magic the Gathering's latest set of cards?
No, please do tell.
It's called Phyrexia. I honestly see, this is how you know that I don't like watch anything online about Magic, because I don't know how to pronounce properly some of the names. I just read it. It says Phyrexia, I guess. It's Phyrexia, and it's All Will Be One, and it's like this newer horror-ish themed set. I'm like gonna go pick up some packs because I haven't touched Magic in a few months now, because I haven't had time to open any on TikTok. Yeah. So I stopped buying stuff. But this set looks very like, all the monsters look insane. They have this thing called the Phyrexian Angel, and it's like a reverse angel. So yeah, you know, angels are feather wings, angel wings, and beautiful and all that. And even in Magic, like the angels are like armor and beautiful silver and gold armor, and they have their wings, and you know, they're glorious. Well, these things are like, these Phyrexian angels are like grotesque and terrifying, and you know, there's like, it's like the inside, it's like a human without the skin, and then but there's armor on them too, like some kind of exoskeleton. And I'm in love with the designs.
Okay.
So, as well as some of the other monsters I've seen on their website. So I'm just like, I need to get some of these because the art looks too beautiful to pass up on.
That's awesome, man. How long have you been a fan of Magic the Gathering?
Ooh, since whatever year Magic came out was the year I started. Because like, I remember the year it came out, I saw some kids at school with the cards, and I fell in love with the art, and I asked my parents to take me to the comic store, I got a couple of packs from the original first set, and then the first expansion I got a couple of packs from, was it Ice Age, I think it was called.
Okay.
I got a couple of those. I still have the cards, like they're upstairs. I have original first edition cards.
Wow, that's great. Like, I've got the first, this isn't horrible, but I've got the first line of WWE wrestling figures.
Oh my god, really?
Now they're like in storage and like Big Boss, you know, like all the early kind of figures and wind up and all sorts of things. I've got the ring, you know, the battery powered ring and the sounds in the corners, and but yeah, being the kind of first in on something like that is fun. Is it something is it purely a collector's thing, or is it a tabletop game as well?
Magic, it's a game. It's absolutely a game. It's just, at this point, there are just so many cards, so many rules, that sometimes it just gets, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
So I haven't played in a while, but sometimes I play like the digital version on my computer, but not against real people. I just play the AI for fun, just to keep refreshed on the rules. But
that's a great idea.
I mostly collect for art now. And sometimes I get really excited by when they have like partnerships with other IPs, like Transformers and Godzilla and Dungeons and Dragons and all that. So I'll pick up a couple of cards here, a couple of cards there, just to have a few from these crossovers. I even like picked up the Street Fighter crossover, which was like they have this like website called Secret Lair where they release special edition cards. They also have like Junji Ito crossover cards at Secret Lair, but I didn't pick those up.
Okay. And
Yeah,
are they all, are they like all official, that all official cards? There's not like some sort of there, and they can all kind of work together effectively.
we can. Although I think there are certain cards that they come out with that are banned. Like there's like, I think it's called Unhinged. It's like a set of cards. They're like jokes. They're
Okay.
so, I mean, unless you play Unhinged, as in like you play with other players who are playing Unhinged,
Right.
then you can use those weird, crazy ass cards. Like some of them are really weird. I forgot what noise I had to make every time I played that card. But like we were at at a Tim Hortons playing, and I like
That's so Canadian.
built that. I built a deck with that card in it,
Yeah.
and yeah, and started making like loud noises. And people are like, "What is going on?" I'm like, "Playing a card game, guys. It says on my card, I have
Yeah.
to do this."
Wow. That's amazing. That's so Canadian. I love it. That's so good.
I really wanted to talk about We Have a Ghost. Have you, on Netflix, have you seen it?
No, I obviously I'm a big fan, like a lot of people, of David Harbour.
Yes.
And I don't know if you want to summarize it, but the thing from the trailer, I'll specifically talk about a trailer, and I don't think it'll be a, hopefully it's not a spoiler, but we'll work around that, is David Harbour's character doesn't speak in the trailer. Now, is
That
that
is,
something that
yeah,
is
it's a thing. It's a
narratively
thing.
important?
It is important, yes. But
No, okay.
I mean,
Well done.
it pretty much is established right away.
Okay.
So, okay, the summary is the discovery that their house is haunted by a ghost named Ernest makes Kevin's family a social media sensation. But when Kevin and Ernest get to the bottom of the mystery of Ernest's past, they become targets of the CIA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never watched the trailer. I don't know if you know, but Tig Notaro, who I absolutely love,
I know that name.
she's Jet Reno in Discovery, Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
Okay. I love Tig. I love everything she does. And yeah, she plays the head CIA person in this film. It's absolutely hilarious. Kevin's dad is played by Anthony Mackie.
Oh, awesome. Like him a
Yep.
lot. Like him a lot.
Oh yeah. And he is so good at being like just a failure of a dad and a jerk. He's just so considering he's the Falcon
Yeah.
and he's playing the opposite of what he is in the Marvel Universe was fantastic. David Harbour, phenomenal actor. As you yes, he doesn't talk, but the acting he does with his eyes, with his body language, was just, it was so good. Everybody in this film is fantastic. The direction by Christopher Landon, phenomenal. Just want to mention it's based on a book called Ernest by Jeff. I don't know how to pronounce his last. It's Manaugh, Manaugh. Manaugh?
Manor. It's like
Manaugh?
manor. It's like you.
Manaugh,
It's
Manaugh.
like
Do, 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 do. Manaugh,
it's like
Manaugh.
Edinburgh. You don't. You know, it's not, the way you pronounce it is so different. But that sounds. I love the premise of this film, and it looks like something I would have loved in the 80s. And the setup is really intriguing to me. And it's, I think, a
It
really
doesn't.
nice sidestep. Not sidestep, but Anthony Mackie's. Obviously, as big action, action star, he's very funny. And
Yes.
how does what did you think? What did you think overall? Were there great elements to it? What did you think?
I just, because I'm trying not to give a lot away, but I it's a horror comedy for sure. It's a
Okay.
horror comedy, and you know, as a horror comedy, I loved it. And you know, if Netflix can keep making stuff like this, I mean,
Yeah.
they can lower their subscription fees, you know, take away the whole password sharing thing and get your subscribers back. Like me, because this is the last thing I watched the day before you guys made it so that we can't share with the rest of my family. Or I can't go and watch it when I'm away on out of town working.
Wow, that disgusts me, the way that works now, especially when you're going to work and a lot of people use the portable version of Netflix, you know, on the apps or whatever. But to kind of take that away from people is pretty awful.
'Cause like, let's be clear, just small tangent. Like, we're not trying to like be jerks and like share it with all of our friends. This is not it. Like, in my case, it's just like ourselves and my mother and father-in-law. You know what I mean? Yes, two different families, but at the end of the day, they don't even use it all that much. It's just us, right? But I just don't like their, like, they've already been increasing the price. We pay 24 something per month. That is a lot. That is more expensive than any of my other subscription services for streaming that I have. And there are too many now. It's too split. I can't afford to keep doing this if there's more and more services. And now you're saying, not only are you increasing our prices to the point of ridiculousness, you keep canceling stuff. And for a company that says sharing, you know, a few years ago they encourage people to share. Now they're like, yeah, no. I think it's the business practice, which is why this movie is the last thing I watched before I canceled. Not that you can't win me back, Netflix. You have two ways to do it: change your practices or book me in something. Because if you pay me, I can use my money to get a subscription from you.
Love that.
I'm willing. I'm still going to push you to change your policies, though, even if I resubscribe and you own me. Like, just know that Bezos owns me, CBS owns me. Now Disney owns me too. So, oh right, Hallmark just don't started owning me too. So, you know, big name, give me a role and I'll resubscribe, but I'll keep pushing at you, make you better.
I think you're right. I think they need to hear this feedback, and there seems to be a bit of a tiny bit of the Netflix magic that's gone for me because of something like that. It seems like a small thing, but
But that's the
it could put
tragedy. A movie
exactly.
like this comes out, right? Every once in a blue moon, you have these amazing productions that they come out with, and you're like, God, can't, I mean, if they can just keep this up.
Like, I thought
But
the
they
same
don't.
thing when I saw Day Shift. I absolutely loved what they produced with that. And I think they miss tricks when they've got a short, I think a short, not surefire hit, but something that they can make $200 to $300 million. They really, I think, shoot themselves in the foot. I think Bird Box was another example where that could have done really good business because it feels like A Quiet Place in many ways. And that obviously Bird Box, I think Bird Box came first or similar times the first one. But yeah, and then when you make a huge deal about a show like 1899, you talk about the virtual production, you know, rivaling how they produced The Mandalorian. It was like, wow, this is groundbreaking. Oh, you cancel after one season. I like to think that the shows I'm watching on Apple TV now, that Apple have learned from this, they're not going to do the same thing. It just seemed, I feel like I can't invest in a show on Netflix.
Well,
Time
a lot of the,
time's so important now.
we have to remember that some of these streaming services, like Apple and also with Prime, right? Their streaming service, I guarantee you, is losing money. But especially with the money they spend on productions, like, some of their budgets are just nuts. But these companies are supported by other products and services that they sell. Netflix has what? Nothing. They have no other services. They're the ones who, by the way, created this landscape to begin with. They made it. They created this. They killed Blockbuster, and video rental in general. But now they are being outcompeted by other companies that have capital to back up, or Disney Plus, right? Disney has other stuff too.
Amazon is another, an Apple,
Yeah, that's Prime and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're kind of, they need to be smarter, but they're not, right? And I mean, okay, so look at let's look at We Have a Ghost. We Have a Ghost has a $75.3 million budget. That is, for what it is, no offense,
That's
it is
high.
really high.
That's high. I've not even watched the movie. That's high.
I mean, they went all out. Their music, their composer is Bear McCreary, who does a lot,
Oh,
including Battlestar Galactica, the
Bal's
remake, right?
amazing. Bear's
Right.
amazing. Yeah.
They went all out. Now, if this movie went to theaters, will it make back 75.3 million? I don't know. I'm being honest here.
No, I don't.
I
Yeah,
don't
probably not.
know. So, yet I do believe this music, sorry, not music, this movie deserves to exist. It should have been made. But Netflix needs to start realizing that if they're going to spend this kind of money, they also need to have a system that will bring in the subscribers. And currently they're bleeding and they're not.
Yeah. I think what we don't have to talk about the content, but I think what they did with Chris Rock's live event and possibility of doing live content, that is a possible avenue of income. And it they seem to, flutter with these ideas, but then the budgets are enormous, absolutely just crazy,
They
crazy.
keep pumping out really low budget reality shows dating this, dating that.
Yeah.
So my suggestion, cut all of those.
Yeah.
Like, cut your reality show, production by like down to like a quarter of what it is now.
Yeah.
Redirect money to actual good productions. Stop canceling good things. Lower the subscription fee. Get rid of the stupid password sharing stuff. You're gonna get everyone back.
Yeah.
Also, here's a good one: partnerships. Because people eventually are gonna get so sick of having to subscribe to 10 different things that they're gonna want something in one place. If Netflix cannot it on its own be a thing anymore, maybe they should innovate by going to other streaming services and providers and going, "Hey guys, look, we know you're losing money. Sure, you have other means of making money to support your loss and still have a profit overall in your company, but let's be marketable together."
Yeah.
So instead of like one app to rule them all, you can still have multiple apps, but if you buy a package, you have access to say three or four apps. Like, wouldn't you like to have a package that has one decent price that has Netflix, Apple TV, and Prime and Disney Plus?
Oh,
I would.
yes, I would look into that. Real, I'd be
You know what I'm
close to
saying?
buying that. Yeah.
You pay this one price, you get these four, right? Or throw Paramount in there, five. Or you can pay for them separately, it's more expensive.
It's effectively it's almost the same thing now,
Oh yeah, in some cases it's worse.
and what Paramount are doing content wise, the quality of their content, I nearly cancelled Netflix to switch to Paramount, so
But
I actually
CBS is bleeding too.
yeah.
That actually is the primary reason Discovery is ending. A
Yeah.
lot of people don't get it. Discovery, by the way, is a phenomenal show, and I will die on that hill. That made it to five seasons, would have continued into a six if Paramount Plus wasn't bleeding.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. I absolutely love it.
So this is where we're at. Netflix created a phenomenal film here that I
Yeah.
think people should absolutely watch. It's not Oscar nominated
It's
performances. That's not what we're looking for here. This
not
is
like
all
Everything
about,
Everywhere All at Once. It's not
no,
that
this
high.
is a fun, silly movie with horror elements, lots of good comedy, a great message, great characters, great character work. The music is great, the special effects are great. I would so watch this again. It is so good. And I am just amazed that, you know, considering everything that's been going on, Netflix can still do something like this.
Yeah.
And just throw such a phenomenal piece of work
out. It gives you hope, doesn't it, for Netflix when they produce something like this?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a, I know how long things take to shoot. And my last comment about Netflix is, I think with Stranger Things, they have been dragging their heels in terms of production and releasing this purposely so people don't look to cancel their accounts. I swear this is happening, especially the last two seasons, because they say it's going to be another 2 to 3 years or 2 years before the final season.
Yep.
I'm like, yep. I understand how special effects work and all of that, but Jesus Christ, I just have this feeling that they're stretching that out.
Well, they also don't have anything to replace it.
No, because it's the flag. It used to be House of Cards. It used to be Orange is the New Black. And Stranger Things is the iconic Netflix show, isn't it?
I think they're hoping that Wednesday will be the next. But
yeah,
I like Wednesday. Which eventually I'll talk about, since I do personally believe Adam's Family is horror. So, but I won't talk about it today. But I will say that I know Netflix is hoping that to kind of have it take over as the flagship, but I don't know if it can. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Hellbound Podcast. You can find us on social media, on Instagram at the Hellbound Podcast. We would also love if you could possibly subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. That would help us very much. So if you want to be featured in our social media, please send us a private message. We'd love to show people your art, your cosplay, your makeup, your music, whatever you want. So again, that's at the Hellbound Podcast. And as always, harness the darkness.